As you know, I've been preaching through John's Gospel in these morning services, and today we come to John chapter 8. If you have a church Bible, it's on 1073 is the page. Just want to read a few verses from this chapter. Verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world." And then verse 19, the second part of it. "You do not know me or my Father," meaning God, Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." And verse 23, he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Do you think that Jesus in those verses is claiming that he is God? Do you think that he is saying, "I am one with God"? Well, it seems so. And so people reacted against him. They thought he was proud. They accused him of blasphemy. But as we'll see, they were judging him in a worldly way. As we read the gospel story, we read that it's not so much Jesus, the man Jesus proudly saying, "I am one with God," but it is God who is humbly saying to us, "I am here among you with and in Jesus." I hope you see the difference. So when Jesus talked about his oneness with the Father, it's not the arrogance of Jesus, but the humility of God, who for our sake stooped to us, so that we might know the one who is the light of the world and of all the universe, so that he might save us from our sin, so that we do not go to hell but to heaven. It's the humility of God, not the arrogance of Jesus. It is God who has come to us in Jesus. Now this chapter, John chapter 8, the events described in it took place in the courtyard of the Jerusalem temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, that was the feast when they remembered how their ancestors, 2,000 years before, had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years living in tabernacles or tents. And in the wilderness, remember the stories from the Old Testament, Moses had produced water from the rock. And so at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews in Jerusalem celebrated this by taking water from the pool of Siloam and pouring it out in the temple. And remember, it was at that point in the feast that Jesus said, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." That's what I was speaking about 2 weeks ago. But another feature of the wandering in the wilderness of the people of Israel so long before was that they were led by a pillar of fire by night. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, the people of Israel, to celebrate this, lit a huge candelabra. In fact, four of them throughout the temple were lit. So the temple was filled with light. And all night they sang psalms and danced before the light. And it was at this point in the feast that Jesus says to them all, "I am the light of the world." What did he mean by that? The sun pours out its light upon this earth and enables the wonderful world of nature to be beautiful. The flowers, the sea coasts, the mountains, the lochs are not beautiful in the dark. Only as the sun pours down its light do they reflect the light of the sun and become beautiful. On a sunny day, we do not go out to look at the sun, but to see how it is shining upon the world around us. The sun shares its light with us on earth. Now, there are objects in space that keep their light to themselves. They're called black holes. I wonder if you've heard of those. Black holes are stars, as it were, in space, which keep all their light to themselves, so they do not shine and you cannot see them. A black hole will also destroy anything that gets near it in space. Now, the sun has not always existed and not always shone, nor have the stars. In the beginning, we read in the book of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." God is light, eternally. We read in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and salvation." God did not keep his light to himself like a black hole, but he poured out his light. The very first thing he said in Genesis 1 is, "Let there be light." And from that outpouring of light, in the beginning of all things, came the universe, the stars, the sun, the earth, and your human life and mine. When you and I see the magnificently beautiful flowers and birds around us, as we shall do as the spring comes, we may think to ourselves, God made these things beautifully. But it would be better if we think in this way. We must think rather of God pouring out something of himself. In all the beauty of the stars, the earth, its mountains, its lakes, its sea, its trees, its animals, its fish, its flowers, we see a reflection of the very being of God. All the majesty of nature reflects the beauty of God himself. He's poured himself out and created the universe. His abundant spirit overflows with beauty and love and power and light. And so he created the universe and upholds it all by his power. We can understand this even more with the advance of modern science, but that's another subject, which I won't bore you with this morning. But something else we can be sure of is this. The world as it is now is not what it should be. You and I, as human beings, are not what we should be, are we? Because as well as beauty and love and light, there's also ugliness, hate and darkness upon the earth. But into the darkness of the world, with all its sin and evil, God again poured something of his being into the world, into our midst. Philippians chapter 2 says that God, he emptied himself, or he humbled himself, and took the nature of a human being and dwelt among us, making his tent among us. And at the Feast of the Tabernacles, the one who was God, having emptied himself into our midst, said, "I am the light of the world." The Pharisees who heard him say that were not pleased. Verse 13, the Pharisees challenged Jesus. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Does a light need a witness? As my wife Eleanor and I were flying into Washington a few weeks ago, it was just after dark. We could make out some of the buildings below us, but what we were aware of most of all were the what it seemed millions of lights in the cities all around Washington below us. And as we looked at the buildings, of course, we didn't know what they were because we were visitors. But a man who was sitting in the seat behind us, he pointed out to us, he pointed through the window of the aeroplane, and he said, he as a witness said to us, that is the Washington Monument, that is Capitol Hill where the Congress meet, that's the Lincoln Memorial. We needed his witness to tell us what these buildings were because we didn't know. But he did not need to witness that these are lights. These millions of things are lights. A light is its own witness. We could see for ourselves that this was light. And the presence of Jesus amidst the people, his teaching, his life, his healing, the raising from the dead, itself was the light which was its own witness. How does Jesus answer the Pharisees when they say, your witness is not valid? Verse 14, he says, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. A person walking in the darkness doesn't know, if he looks behind, where he's come from. And he certainly doesn't know where he's going if he's in the dark. People in the world today are walking in darkness. They do not know where they came from or where they're going. Some people make guesses. They say, well, we came from monkeys. They were our ancestors. Once, like big baboons, we swung from tree to tree. That's what some say, isn't it? I don't believe it. I don't believe there's any evidence in the fossils or geology to say that. But that's what they say. That's where they think we came from. There was a BBC program about ghosts on the TV last week. I noticed that one of the ladies involved said she was interested in ghosts because she did not know whether or not there was life after death. So she was a person who didn't know where she was going. Didn't know where she'd come from or where she was going. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's think of that theory that we came from monkeys. You know the theory, I'm sure. It's called survival of the fittest. The theory goes that the strongest and the cleverest manage selfishly to displace all the others so that only the strongest and the cleverest survived. That's the theory which says how we came from monkeys, which I don't believe. But the darkness of the world is exactly that. To exalt myself, to grab everything for myself, to push everybody else down, to grab power, to hold on to power. The opposite of pouring out love to others. Hoarding everything to myself, rather like a black hole. And so we get terrible power struggles in politics and business among tribes and men. I wonder if you or I, dear friend, are engaged in a selfish power struggle with someone else. But that's how the world judges success, isn't it? We judge success as the man with money, power and fame. He's the successful one. And that's what Jesus means in the next verse, verse 15. He says, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. You know, we even judge God by human standards. There are many rich and powerful people at the top in this world, aren't there? And we imagine that God is just the richest, most powerful person. He's the big solitary being, the big boss. That's how people imagine God. In the world, we magnify Sorry, the worldly way of thinking is to magnify our own selfish ambitions, to project them onto the sky and say God is just like a great big boss in the sky, the great big successful one. But in verse 16, Jesus says, if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father. Jesus is saying that God isn't just the big boss. He is the Father and the Son whom he is with in this human being Jesus who poured himself out for us. In this world, a boss tries to get all he can from his workers to maximize his profits. But in the heavenly way of thinking, a father gives all he can to his son. That's the heavenly way of thinking. In this world, employees, workers, try to get as much as they can from the boss. In the heavenly way of thinking, a son wants to bring honor to his father. And so in the church, we must be those who give honor to one another and rejoice in each other's blessings. So God, who has come to us in Jesus, is not the big boss. That's the way of thinking of the world. But he is revealed as eternal Father and Son. That's the heavenly way of thinking. Now verse 23. Jesus continued, you are from below. You're thinking like the world, the selfish way of the world. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. And verse 26. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is true, and what I've heard from him I tell you. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. In verse 21 and 24, Jesus says that if we follow the world's way of thinking, we will die in our sins. Sin means to miss the mark, to miss the target. And if you live your life in that worldly way of thinking, of hoarding everything for yourself, you will miss the very purpose of your human life. And when you die, you will die having missed the mark. You will die in your sins. That's what Jesus means. But if we open our hearts to Christ, who poured out his love for us, then we will have the light of life. The Pharisees still thought that Jesus was boasting. So Jesus says to them, when you have lifted me up, meaning put me on a cross, lifted me up to crucify me, then you will realize that I am he and the Father has sent me. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, the centurion said, now this is the Son of God. All around us in the world, we see the beauty and the light of God poured into the majesty of nature. But we see the very heart of God poured out for us there upon the cross. That is the place where we really come to know God, at the cross where Jesus was lifted up to die. That is where the Father and the Son reveal their true heart of love and grace poured out for all mankind. And when we look to the cross, we must confess, Lord, you poured your life out for me, for my sin, that I might be saved, that I might leave the darkness of self and follow him who is the light of life. And only then will you have come to know the Father and the Son? Because that's where God reveals his very heart to us. May God bless us all. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, you poured yourself out in love and grace for all the world, in the majesty of creation, the beauty of all things, and in the cross of Jesus, your Son. We kneel there and look to him. Give us the light of life. Take away from us darkness, selfishness, that we may not die in sin, but die believing in him who rose again from the dead to take us to be with him forever. We pray in his name. Amen.